This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, 9 o'clock Friday is where we go back and we reassess the stupid things we heard or read this week. And I'm not afraid to throw myself into this segment, as is about to be demonstrated today. There were a lot of people that disagreed with my take on the cancellation of the Journey concert last Friday, which is, you know, that's technically, that's within the framework of the last week since our last Take-A-Mania.
What was your take?
My take? Well, we'll play it in a second.
Okay, we'll
play it in a second. The Journey concert cancellation. I got some heat from people on social media about my take. So I'll throw myself in here and let Pope Zaza assess it and see if it's dumb enough to compete with Angelo Cataldi. We do this every week. We treat it like a wrestling match. There is a champion who has been the king of kings of bad takes over the last 6 weeks, and it's former Philadelphia legendary radio host Angelo Cataldi. Used to be on WIP in Philadelphia. He's retired now, but he was on a podcast the day after the Super Bowl. Here is what continues to be the reigning champion in the bad take-a-mania that we do every Friday.
Let me let your audience in on a little secret, all right? Because most of the country will argue this to the death. Andy Reid is way overrated as a coach, all right? Andy Reid was in Philadelphia 14 years. He won zero championships. Doug Peterson was here 5. He won one. Nick Sirianni's been here 4. He won one. The only reason Andy Reid was winning big games in KC was because he had this mastermind, Mahomes, making up plays on the run and doing brilliant stuff. The only reason Mahomes didn't do that yesterday is he had no time to do it. And Andy Reid could not figure out a way to give him time to do it. And the truth is, Mahomes is a stud. Mahomes is a great player despite yesterday. Zach, no argument. Reid, the all-time fraud of American sports,
okay,
is Andy Reid.
Okay, there we go. Listen, this is real quick. I don't, because we've played this so many times. I can see something that's happening as we play this every week. I've seen people have DM'd me or said on the text line, well, guys, he does make some valid points in there. Yes, yes. But this is what you need to be on guard. If you find yourself saying that, yes. But that is a classic misleading tactic. Politicians love it. People on social media love it. Saying a few true things gets your brain primed for like, oh, that is true. Oh, that is true. But then when you, but none of the things that he said lead to a conclusion that Andy Reid is an all-time fraud as a head coach, okay? It's a horrendous take.
Yep.
It's a horrendous take. Some of the things he said in there were true, but it's a horrendous take because none of them lead to Andy Reid being an all-time fraud of a coach. It's one of the worst takes I've ever heard in my entire life.
And I don't know if it's getting taken down this week. If Corey Alexander, the commentator for the ACC tournament on ESPN, saying that Cooper Flagg's parents were more interested in seeing Duke win that game than the medical welfare of their child didn't take down Cataldi, he might be the champion into 2026.
I think, you know what, though? There's at least one contender here, and I think the fans, because of recency bias, the listeners might really want Cataldi to be toppled by this next one.
Okay, so this is it. So this one might be the one that takes him down.
This one, right, there's multiple ones in here, but this one is one I'm wondering about.
Okay, so this was one that was actually sent to me by a few people saying, save this for Friday. So this already has kind of the aura around it of being a bad take. This was Sam Monson, formerly a Pro Football Focus, doing his podcast with another PFF alum.
The 33rd team.
Steve Palazzolo. They're with the 33rd team now. This was his take on Texans rookie safety Kalen Bullock.
A lot of people talked up Kalen Bullock last year because he had five interceptions and a couple of those plays were splashy. He was, however, at the root cause of a lot of terrible plays within that defense. And this theoretically should get him out of the starting lineup when, you know, a lot of other people have been like, look at this guy, young star on the rise, five picks, rookie, you know, fantastic. And instead the Texans are like, dude, did you see the negative reel here? We've got to get that guy off the field and work on that stuff before we can, you know, get the positive stuff out of him.
Yeah, this, look, again, says some things that are true. Yeah, he did have, he had a lot of, you know what, rookie errors last year. The biggest thing, and I think where Sam is getting it wrong here, is that he showed progression and got better at a lot of the mental side of the things. A lot of the things that safety, the safety position, especially for rookies, is really tough because there's a lot going on that you got to keep track of at the same time. And I thought that he showed progress. I mean, he talks about people outside or watching from afar getting excited about the five interceptions. I don't know if there's anybody more excited about Kalen Bullock's rookie performance than D'Amico Ryans.
Right.
But he was a rookie. Okay, so he made rookie mistakes. I don't think there's a single part of the Texans that would ever think, guys, Kalen Bullock just had this promising season, but he also made some rookie errors, you know, like rookies tend to do. Mm-hmm. And he was a second-round pick. It's not like he was a top-five pick. We got to find a way this year to get him the hell off the field.
Yep.
None of that makes any sense.
Okay, so the question is that a worse take than Angelo Cataldi's take about Andy Reid?
No, it's not even close.
And Cataldi kicks out again. Cataldi kicks out every week. Oh, man.
Cataldi was done in by his own ambition, man.
Yeah.
He's no different than Hitler going attacking Russia.
His own ambition and pettiness.
Yeah. And like he just, you know, but like overreaching.
Yeah.
In that he had some valid arguments about maybe Andy Reid's overrated in terms of the great coaches or something.
Yeah.
He called him an all-time fraud.
Right. All right. So Cataldi remains the champ. Can any of these challengers take him down? Like Sean T. Pendergast. The Journey concert last Friday got canceled 4.5 songs in because of an electrical fire. It was chaos. People wanted their money back. They were angry. They were mad. What's going to happen here with the rodeo? I wanted to see Journey. That's what people were saying. I had kind of the opposite take on the whole thing. Here we go.
All right, we're exiting the Journey concert. It just got truncated by an electrical fire backstage. An iconic moment in Houston rodeo history. That's how I choose to look at it. Everybody's really angry and pissed off right now. A lot of Journey people with their concert t-shirts and everything, angry that the power went out during Don't Stop Believing of all songs. I thought it was an homage to The Sopranos at first. It was not. Here's how I choose to look at it. Glass half full. It's a lot like the Mike Tyson Evander Holyfield fight back in 1997, where Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear and everybody's like, oh, give me my money back. I didn't get to see a good fight. Oh, you saw a man bite another man's ear off. They're still talking about it 30 years later. They'll be talking about the Journey Electrical Fire concert 30 years from now. And you were here for it. Suck it up and enjoy it. And save your digital ticket to show your grandkids.
Yep.
That's my advice.
That's it, man. Be happy you were there for it.
All right. Okay, so you got people rankled because a lot of the people that were probably most rankled with you are those very people who were at the show and really wanted to watch.
Yeah, the ones walking behind me and in front of me. Exactly.
Those people damn well know that their grandkids aren't going to give a damn about whether or not they saw Journey. Journey's in a different category of like, hey, it's a great band, but it's not like saying you saw Bob Dylan at Woodstock or something.
No.
When it comes to things that you would tell your grandkids about.
No, but let me explain myself real quick. It could have been any show that people like. It's not so much that it's Journey, although that it is Don't Stop Believing that it went out, I think is still remarkable given the end of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
That's never happened before. You know, every year that the rodeo happens, every year the lineup gets released, people are going to talk about, remember that Journey show that got canceled back in 2025. Same way they talk about people getting walked off the property when COVID hit back in 2020. You know, like every year, remember the year they canceled the rodeo? Because I'm not comparing an electrical fire to a pandemic. I'm comparing the uniqueness of the two things.
I think the fact that you rubbed it in people's faces while they were emotionally upset gives it a little bit of a bump up, but I don't think it's anywhere close. It's valid enough. Yeah. I think you're overreaching a little bit.
Is it a bad
but not
take?
Like not the way Cataldi or Hitler would overreach. Yes.
Okay. That's good. Those are two people. I thought I had him pinned, man. I thought I had him pinned. All right. This is Tari Eason. This is a quick one. Vanessa Richardson posted this on social media. We had Vanessa on earlier this week on Wednesday, I think it was. She was great. If you want to go back and listen to it on the podcast, talking Rockets basketball. This was Tari Eason's response to an Orlando media member after the Rockets beat the Magic on Wednesday night. The media member, according to Vanessa, said that said this to Tari Eason, people may doubt you guys because you have a lot of young players who haven't been to the playoffs. This was Tari Eason's reply to that.
You know, I hated Jesus. Everybody's got something to say, bro. Like, everybody's going to say anything.
They hated Jesus.
No, I think he's making a good point there.
You do?
He's like, hey, everybody's opinion is what it is. Okay. It's just going to like, okay, he took something that is, you know, in his mind, unassailable.
Yeah.
And yeah, people are going to hate that. The biggest, the equivalent is on social media where when you look at, okay, a composition of a performance of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony or something. There's going to be a one-star review wherever you go. Anything you find that is incredible and awesome or anything, a little kid, a five-year-old kid doing something funny or sassy, that's heartwarming, and you feel like, oh, wow, that's what life's all about. A cancer survivor telling their story about overcoming cancer, somebody will give a one-star review.
Yeah.
So you can't concern yourself with the one-star reviews.
Okay. I just didn't see the correlation, you know what I mean, between a bunch of young basketball players having never played NBA playoffs and hating Jesus.
No, I think you're overthinking it. I think it's more of a blanket statement about like, hey, people are going to have their opinions. There's always going to be somebody that disagrees with the way you feel about something. Yeah.
It's also really short.
If he didn't present himself like they were Jesus or something, you know, like he's not trying to pull a Jack Easterby or to make some kind of weird analogy that doesn't make any sense at all.
Overthinking.
I'm okay with that. That's almost more like a loose comparison.
Overthinking it, and also very short on material this week for this segment, as you can tell. Kicks out again. Yeah, that wasn't even close. Cataldi squashed Tari Eason like a bug. By the way, getting some pretty good feedback about my take on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Thank you, people, for backing me on that. By the way, text in if we missed any, let me know because I'd like to hear them. All right, these last two, not audio takes. These are takes that were on social media, on Twitter. The Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday, Seth, posted a highlight reel of Eric Murray's highlights from this past season. It's a minute 14 long, and I got to tell you, I was impressed that they found a minute 14 from Eric Murray worthy of putting into a highlight video. They tweeted, the only time, this is the Jags social media account, the only time you'll catch us posting Texans highlights, crying laughing emoji, hashtag Duval.
Yeah.
That's how I choose.
Duval.
Yeah. I think that belongs in this segment, that it feels like they're almost trying to troll Texan fans by bragging about signing Eric Murray to an overpriced, bloated contract. They're bragging about signing Eric Murray.
Yeah, I get. We know what it is. It's one thing to post highlights of a guy or something that you just signed.
Yeah.
The tone of that, I don't appreciate that.
Dragging us
that,
into
Jack,
it.
Social media people. Yeah. Right. Yeah, like, hey, we won't post Texans highlights except look at what they let go of.
Right.
Three interceptions in nine seasons. It's going to miss us much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was pulling us down in terms of this is a team that had the second most interceptions in the league last year.
Yeah.
So you bring in a guy in C.J. Gardner-Johnson who has had 12 interceptions in his last 30 regular season games. It's a pretty damn impressive performance.
It's a bad take. Probably not worse than Cataldi, but a bad take by the Jacksonville Jaguars Twitter account, I would say. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, bad take. Yeah, bad take.
Can he do it? Cover! Oh, and a kick!
And last one here. Let's make sure we get this one in. This is from a fellow named Richard Condon on Twitter this morning. I woke up to this one this morning, fed to me on my For You column on X. Video of Amir Khan, the student manager from McNeese State. If you heard us talking about him earlier, you've been watching the tournament, you know who he is. He's the toonbox-wielding student manager for McNeese State who pulled off a big upset yesterday of Clemson. And he's got big NIL deals with this gimmick that he's cooked up here. And good for him. Buffalo Wild Wings, Tick Pick, Insomnia Cookies. They pay him and presumably provide him with a lot of wings and cookies to display their logos on the Jambox and everything else. Richard Condon, Rando on Twitter, says, if you were close to being totally done with college sports because of 18-year-olds signing seven-figure NIL deals, this'll do it for you. McNeese basketball team manager Amir Khan signs three NIL deals with Buffalo Wild Wings, Tick Pick and Insomnia Cookies because he does this. And then it's ... and then the video of him walking the team out with the Jambox. How does somebody get worked up over a student manager getting some low-level NIL deals to carry a Jambox?
Or if anything, this is a little bit of a, hey, you might hate NIL and everything, but at the very least, it provides you this.
Yeah.
This is a person that is just dead set against finding any joy in the world, and he wants to burn everything down because he's upset about something.
Yes.
The team manager... The team manager, who happens to probably be, he's a guy that will be a McNeese State graduate someday. I don't know what his GPA is. He's a sports management major. I'd say about 3% of sports management majors actually go into sports management.
Yeah, these
but
days.
At least he's got a leg up on this now.
Yeah, man.
Boy, talk about one of the biggest scams in education these days. Luring a kid in with your sports management major. They're like, yeah, how many of your alumni are future GMs? Oh, just about none of them.
Yeah.
Frankly, we don't even know what a sports management major is. Anyway, this is actually one of the good things of NIL, I would argue.
Yeah.
If you can be cynical about all the other parts of NIL and the transfer portal and everything else, I feel like this is just a cool story of a kind of a dopey looking kid that the players latched onto and in love. And it's like if Rudy had gotten paid back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, if Amir Khan from McNeese is the straw that breaks the camel's back for you on the sanctity of college sports being ruined by NIL, you were out a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like now, Richard Condon, this guy is tweeting this as somebody who clearly is distraught about the state of college sports these days. It wasn't like, I really love college sports. Oh my God, this Amir Khan, I'm out. You know, it's
so this is what I would say is, so this Richard Condon, he's not a sports media person.
No, he's
right?
just a rando just a that got fed to me today. Yeah.
If Colin Coward comes out with this take, then it could be in contention. We have to see how Colin Coward treats it, because he'll figure out a way to also, you know, he's going to work Warren Buffett into the analogy somehow. Yeah. And yes, then that might be in the running, but we have to wait and see.
It needs to be somebody. This would be like pulling some rando out of the crowd and expecting him to pin Brock Lesnar or something like that. That's what Richard Condon is. He's a rando. All right, so he's
can he, do it?
He cannot do it. Cataldi wins again, man. Dude, how long is Cataldi? How bad a take are we going to need to get Cataldi to get that strap off of him, to get that belt off of him?
The one last week that was close, the problem was almost just was that it was way weirder than it was a bad take.
Corey Alexander,
it was a strange take in the moment that was just, it was almost so dumb that it gets a pass.
Yeah.
So with Cataldi, the fact that I know Cataldi, after he hung up the phone on that interview, thought he had nailed it and that he had been the one man brave enough to tell the truth.
Yep.
That's what really cements it as an all-time bad take.
All right, there it is, man. There it is. Cataldi remains the champ in Take-A-Mania. We do it every Friday at 9:00. All right, coming up next, Rockets clinched a playoff spot with that win over Orlando. I don't know if we touched on that when we talked about that game. They're back in the postseason, which means we are going to get playoff basketball for the first time since 2020. We're going to get April and May playoff basketball for the first time since 2019. How long ago was that? We're going to make you feel how long ago it was coming up next.